Salvete omnes qui ludere amatis. Hail to all who love to play games. And welcome to the Video Games and Human Values Initiative podcast. I'm Roger Travis, director of the initiative and associate professor of classics at the University of Connecticut. In this edition, I talk with Jeff Howard, another co-founder of the Video Games and Human Values Initiative, about magic systems, mimesis, allegory, and programming. Enjoy. So I want to welcome Jeff Howard, who will be assistant professor of game development and game design at Dakota State University starting in August. He's also one of the co-founders of the Video Games and Human Values Initiative, for which I will always have never-ending thanks. And he is also author of a wonderful book, Quests: Design Theory and History in Games and Narrative. And Jeff, like me, is somebody who comes from the humanities, although he has gone farther along the course towards actually being involved in doing games than I have managed to go thus far. And he's currently at work, he tells me, on a game that I got a chance to look at a little bit of early gameplay footage of, which is called Arcana Manor. His latest thought, if I can put it that way, is about the nature of magic systems and where magic systems maybe should be headed as games develop. So, Jeff, let me just set it up for you as well as I can. What is a magic system as you see it?
Well, a magic system is a set of rules governing the exercise of supernatural powers and abilities within a game. The most common form of magic system would be a system of spell casting, of casting spells. And we kind of see those from the very earliest history of tabletop role-playing games. As soon as Dungeons & Dragons makes the transition from a realistic war simulation to having fantasy elements, the first thing that sort of starts that off is allowing some of the tokens or pieces in chainmail, the early version of Dungeons and Dragons, to be able to cast some fireballs and to have supernatural abilities. I think the challenge of games is that sort of by definition they have the interactions that occur in games need to be rule-based. And so as soon as we introduce the notion of the supernatural, as soon as we say, okay, there's kind of a baseline reality that this game will simulate. But as soon as we say, okay, but some of these people are wizards and they have supernatural powers, we introduce a challenge into gameplay because we, in effect, have to break the rules that we've established as being kind of the baseline reality in the game. And we have to introduce sort of a new subset of rules that will govern powers regarded as supernatural, as outside the base simulation of the game. And so a magic system is a system for allowing some sort of supernatural activity within the game, but governing it by a subset of rules so that it doesn't degenerate into chaos.
So it's a way of creating a realism, or to use a term that I think about a lot, a mimesis, that despite being unreal, nevertheless feels real? Is it the feeling of reality or kind of cognitive correspondence to reality that makes a magic system work?
There's a paradox to it in that there is a, I almost want to say that there's a kind of a counter mimesis that happens with the magic system. It's like there's the mimesis of what will be regarded in the game as the ordinary or real world that is governed by physical laws that are sort of a simulation of our own. So a rock that's launched out of a catapult will do more damage than a dagger stabbed at somebody. But then the kind of thrill of introducing supernatural elements in the game is to say, we're going to let players fantasize or imagine being able to break or escape from or transcend the kind of ordinary world and the physical laws that govern that physical world. So suddenly we're allowing people the opportunity to vividly imagine themselves throwing a fireball. But if we let that feeling of fantasy, that fantasy of breaking natural laws, be too unfettered, then players feel like they're cheating. They're utterly ungrounded in any mimesis, and that they can do anything. So conflict would be impossible to resolve in the game. So it's giving people the experience of escaping from the very mimetic rules that we've set up as the baseline of the game, but we're doing it in a way that feels governed by law or pattern to the player.
Let me just ask you about Arcana Manor and about the magic system that you have been involved in creating for it. What do you think is special about it, and what is it about it that's going to kind of move magic systems further down the line?
Arcana Manor is definitely a work in progress, and it's an attempt to try to put into practice some ideas about where I think magic systems should maybe go. Arcana Manor is it's an action-adventure game, a 3D platformer about moving through, swinging, running, jumping through this surreal occult mansion. And in the process, learning to master a magic system to cast spells, which will allow the player to make it to the center of this mansion and either rescue or defeat its architect, who has become lost in the ruins of his own creation. And what I want to do with the magic system is to allow players to enact a set of symbolic correspondences through the casting of spells. And what I'm kind of aiming for is a deep, complex, densely interactive magic system. And I'll digress just a moment specifically from what I'm doing, but I'll come back to it. The extreme of what I think, you know, is like a really great magic system would be Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, which is a Silicon Knight title, kind of a cult classic at this point. And what's so powerful about that magic system is that on the one hand, it's the casting system is extremely interactive and complex. So the player combines runes, and these runes constitute a symbolic language. So one rune means enchant, and another rune means self, and another rune means intensify. And the runes can be combined in these configurations. They can be combined at different points along a rune circle that might have 3 slots or 5 slots, I think at 1.7 slots. So you're in effect, it's kind of semantically based. You're putting together sentences with these runes and having to master a kind of language where you're saying enchant plus weapon plus intensify means apply a powerful, aggressive enchantment to this blade. There's more to it than that, though. There's kind of a color element to it in that some of the runes are red, some of them are green, some of them are blue. And once you start thinking about the colors, this whole rigorous symbolic system, this underlying extended metaphor or allegory becomes revealed, because what's happening is that every one of the colors corresponds to an ancient in the world of Eternal Darkness. And an ancient is kind of a Lovecraftian Cthulhu-type deity, an ancient god. And each of the gods corresponds to body is one of the gods. Another god is the god of mind, and another god is the god of sanity or psyche. And as you learn to cast spells in Eternal Darkness, not only are you mastering a rune system that's kind of got a rock, paper, scissors underpinning to it, but you're also mastering a cosmology, and you're kind of putting yourself in the midst of a set of conflicts between gods, which are also principles of the human spirit or constitution. And you're kind of aligning yourself with those principles and learning to master them interactively. So Arcana Manor is an attempt to go more towards the interactive and symbolically rich system of magic. And so the way that this system is going to work is that in large part it's tarot-based, because I was sort of thinking about the traditions of mysticism and kind of arcane symbolism that we have in relatively modern Western culture. And the tarot deck is a kind of reconfigurable symbol system. And it's sort of neat to think about tarot cards in conjunction with games because, you know, they're the precursors of playing cards. Mm-hmm. So they are a game. When we're working with tarot cards, it's not that a tarot deck is a story. It's sort of a machine for generating a dizzying number of possible stories and also of kind of reconfigurable symbolic meaning. So the kind of idea of Arcana Manor is to sort of draw on tarot mechanics and tarot symbolism at the same time and to conjoin those things as much as possible. So bottom line is that there have been a lot of tarot-based games, with The Fool's Errand being one of the earliest, and gosh, even House of the Dead, all the bosses are major arcana tarot cards. So I don't want it to be, you know, only a tarot card game. I want to see if I can sort of line up a set of correspondences and have spell casting center around that. Kind of where I'm at with it right now is it's like, okay, well, the game's a kind of a platformer. And the reason for that is that I'd like to see if the spells could be made more interactive by tying them in to a complex physical structure, to this great surreal gothic mansion. So I was thinking, all right, instead of just having the spells attack enemies or heal the player, instead of sticking with those four standard schools of RPG magic, let's say that, you know, let's have swords, which are about courage, do something that helps the player overcome fear. And, you know, let's say that leaping at a giant chasm looks vertiginous enough when you're playing to actually inspire, you know, maybe a twinge of fear. So let's say that mastering, you know, the swords, it has to do with courage and getting this boost to be able to jump over something. Or say that, you know, wands, because that's all about will, let's say that that is going to have to do with telekinesis, with, you know, raising and lowering platforms. And then sort of puzzling out how you would test or let players exercise the other virtues or principles, silence being the one that I'm really kind of messing with. It'd be neat if that could be tied into some sort of stealth mechanic. But it would be even better if, you know, NPCs in the mansion, characters who would sort of, you know, tempt you into revealing mysteries that you really shouldn't, or into profaning, you know, the memory of the dead brother who you're trying to save or something. And if pentacles could silence that. And I've been talking for a long time, so I'll try to wind up with this particular question. Here's the challenge that magic systems present, is that when we're doing this act of countermimesis, when we're trying to, as designers, trying to break out of the rules of a realistic simulation of kind of ordinary reality and physics, the more strange and outlandish and psychedelic the effects that we try to create, the process of programming them rigorously becomes that much more difficult. And so I think that the skill that making a really good magic system requires is programming. And that's going to be kind of the stumbling block or the trial that's got to be overcome in order for a designer to really be able to make a magic system that is both symbolic and deeply interactive, is that it requires programming expertise that goes beyond a GUI, it goes beyond a graphical user interface in which the user is going to press a button and then watch the series of animations fire. It's got to be a system in which the game engine is responding procedurally to what players are doing at each moment and then giving them feedback kind of based on that. So, you know, a person ends up having to be able to program a system that recognizes what sigil is being traced, what card is being put down, how many cards have been put down before, what colors are being flashed around on the screen, and then, you know, kind of guides the player through putting these symbols together in ways that will make something happen. And so Andrew Plotkin is a interactive fiction guy from Boston. The Boston area is kind of famous in that niche of interactive fiction. And he has this parable that he posted somewhere that I'll have to put up as a link, but he says he actually works at, he's a professional programmer. He does it for a living. And he says somewhere at the beginning of this parable, as we all know, programming is a metaphor for magic, or is it the other way around? And what he's kind of getting at is that the mastery of a set of symbols in order to produce arcane and unexpected effects that nevertheless obey rigorous rules. I mean, that's what Gandalf does, or what a fantasy magician does, but it's also what a programmer does, you know, mastering this kind of arcane language of JavaScript or C++, and then gluing it all together in these complex interactive ways in order to produce effect. So, I think that if we're going to make magic systems progress, it's sophistication of programming and getting designers to think not just in terms of the eye candy of a series of animations, but in terms of the complex procedural interactive systems and the symbolic resonances that they might have. So that's kind of going to be the challenge.
It sounds to me, I have to say, towards the end, there's a conflation that happens between the allegory and the programming, just to give the two sides of it a name. But what strikes me is just how hard it's going to be to get those two things to come together, right? Because in a certain sense, you're dealing with two completely separate symbolic systems, both of which demand a ton of attention. Right. On the one hand, you want your magic system to have meaning in the sense that we expect an epic or a novel to have a meaning. And that's the allegory side of it, where you want the tarot to realize that function that I think you outlined so well, of being an infinitely malleable matrix to create allegory of events in the real world that in general to all of us on a day-to-day basis seems so incomprehensible. I mean, the tarot as a way of understanding the stock market. And you can imagine putting that into a game. And it would be a wonderful game, and it would be kind of the ultimate magic system where magical acts actually had that allegorical symbolic meaning that we want them to have. But then on the other hand, what you were saying at the end, it's so practical and so true. I almost felt my heart breaking because of the challenges that the programming would take. And just as you say, that's going to be the thing that is really in the way of getting a magic system together. And so I'm pulling for you that you are the guy, because you seem like you could, it could be you. I mean, with your background in literature and then your background in game design, you're the guy who could put together the programming with the allegory. So I wish you all of the best from me and everyone at the Video Games and Human Values Initiative. Thanks so much, Jeff. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to do everything you said justice, but I'm going to link your site design and quests and then various things that we talked about it. I'm also going to link Corvus Elrod, who is himself working on a kind of magic system that he's putting into token form with an eye towards putting it eventually into digital form. And I think they're amazing interfaces. And that's the kind of thing we can all talk about on Twitter and on the forums. So thanks very much. And I'm planning on having people back as the months go on. And so we'll talk to you again soon.
Sure. That'd be great. Thanks for having me, Roger.